Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
Welcome to DW's Africa Link program. I'm Isaac Mugabe, your host in Bonn, Germany. Coming up, Burundi Speaker of Parliament P. Navyohanyuma flees the country hours before the parliamentary elections. We hear from an analyst.
This is simply one more person in the government who's defected. He's definitely not the first one. We have the VP, the second vice president, who fled earlier last week.
Authorities in the Democratic Republic of Congo ban chicken imports from Turkey for fear of bird flu.
We are afraid to eat chicken because where we were told that they are infected with bird flu, which is scaring us.
These stories and more to come in the next 25 minutes. Stay tuned.
Top story.
We begin in Burundi, where the country's parliamentary speaker, P. Navyohanyuma, has fled to Belgium for fear of his life after opposing President Pierre Nkurunziza's bid for a third term in office. Burundi has been in turmoil since April when Nkurunziza said he would seek a third term, triggering weeks of protests and an abortive military coup last month. From Bujumbura, Apollinaire Niora reports.
There are around 2,000 candidates from 16 political parties and coalitions that are running for the legislative elections in Burundi's 18 provinces. They come from the ruling party, the CNDD-FDD, its allies, and the opposition. But the opposition has said that it will boycott the elections and has called on voters not to go to the polls. I asked a university student and opposition member whether he would be going to the polls.
Personally, I must say I'm not going to attend the vote. The main reason is that these elections have not been organized quite well, which means that there are some political parties that have been excluded from organizing those very elections. Reason why I see, well, I am not going to attend them.
A civil servant and a civil society activist also told me that she was not prepared to vote for people who had done little for the community.
I'm not going to vote because, first of all, I know that we have that right to elect as a woman. That's great. But exercising your right, you cannot do it blindly or without any reason. You know, those legislatives or cabinets, they can be elected for good projects they have. And I cannot exercise my right blindly for only one reason. I have the right to elect. That's why I cannot go. Now we need leaders. It's my responsibility to elect someone who have good projects for the citizens.
However, a citizen met in Kamenge, an area of Bujumbura where a protest didn't take place, said he would be going to vote for change.
I'm ready to go to vote the Burundian because it is my right. My reason for going to vote is that, first of all, I need a change in my country. I need to see new faces in parliament, in local administration.
The ongoing violence in Burundi has continued right up to the eve of the elections. On a Saturday night, two civilians and a soldier were killed in separate attacks in Bujumbura after the second vice president, Gervais Rufyikiri, the speaker of the National Assembly, P. Navyohanyuma, announced on the new channel France 24 that he has gone into exile in Belgium, fearing for his security. He's among several people from the ruling party who are against President Pierre Nkurunziza's third term.
Apollinaire Niyirora reporting from Bujumbura. For more on the crisis in Burundi, my colleague Sela Oneko spoke to Yolan Buka, a researcher at the Institute of Security Studies based in Nairobi, and started asking her whether the fact that so many high-level officials have left the country is a sign for more violence during the elections.
This is simply, you know, one more person in the government who's defected. He's definitely not the first one. We have the VP, the second vice president, who fled earlier last week. We've had the vice president of the Constitutional Court, who also fled a few weeks ago, along with members of the Electoral Commission. And that has yet to have an impact on the behavior of the ruling party.
And the main opposition and civil society groups have called on the people to boycott the elections. But at the moment, Burundi's ruling party holds over 90% of the seats in parliament. So what does the opposition hope to gain from this boycott?
I think the boycott is an attempt to call on the international community to argue that the electoral process is not legitimate. This is what happened in 2010 when the opposition boycotted the elections. And unfortunately, it was a miscalculation on their part. The international community still went ahead and legitimized or confirmed the validity of the electoral process. At this point, a boycott is unlikely to change, you know, the decision of the ruling party to maintain the elections and to argue that those elections are legitimate. What they've been doing is acting in bad faith. The international community, the East African community, and the African Union have called on the Burundian government to postpone the elections until the conditions on the ground were suitable for peaceful elections.
I mean, on that, on Friday, UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon called for a last-minute postponement of the elections. So do you actually think that the international community has done enough to support free and fair elections?
The international community should have acted during the 2010 elections. By their failing to recognize the conditions in which the elections took place in 2010, they opened the door for President Nkurunziza to hold the elections as is at the moment. And then I think you also need to recognize that in some parts of Africa, the United Nations and the European Union and the United States have decreased influence on what the local dynamics will look like. Regional actors such as regional economic organizations and the African Union have much more leverage, it appears, at least in the case of Burundi, to impact the decisions of rulers and governments.
Concerning the boycott of the elections, the call from the opposition for people to not go and vote, how many people do you think will actually go to the polls?
Well, this is a very good question. In Bujumbura, you know, you may have a larger boycott than in rural areas. And that's because of, you know, two important factors. First is that the base of the ruling party, the CNDD-FDD, finds itself in the countryside. So obviously, for people who are voting for the CNDD-FDD, the boycott of the opposition, you know, is more likely to be beneficial for them since they will have their candidates in power. And then secondly, the call to boycott may not reach a large number of the population throughout the country as most media outlets are controlled by the government. So I think you have two factors that may, in fact, reduce the impact of the opposition's call to boycott the elections.
Yolande Boka, a researcher at the Institute of Security Studies, speaking to Africa Link's Sela Oneko.
Africa Link, every weekday on DW Deutsche Welle.
A regional summit on terrorism ended in Kenya with participants resolving to share intelligence as one way of fighting radicalization and terrorism. Terrorist organizations like Al-Shabaab in Somalia and Boko Haram in Nigeria continue to pose a security threat. DW's Shewaye Legese spoke to EU's head of political section in Kenya, Uwe Wiesenbach, on the EU's plans to improve Africa's ability to fight terrorism.
Yeah, it's part of an EU package of programs that try and help countries in the East Africa and Horn of Africa region to be more effective in their own endeavors to combat terrorism and radicalization. And this particular program, which was in the planning stage, which will come up in at the end of the year or the early next year, is about helping the judiciary system and the prosecution to gather better evidence that can be used in court to prosecute terrorists. And in particular in working together, because a lot of these terrorism phenomena obviously cross-border.
Countries like Ethiopia, Kenya, and of course Uganda are engaged in counter-terrorism operations for years. How do you evaluate the achievements so far?
Well, that is difficult to say. I'm not an intelligence specialist, but some countries have been targets of terror attacks more than others. Some have been able to thwart a number of attacks, among others Ethiopia. Sometimes it's luck, sometimes it's last minute, but there is a very little sort of systematic cooperation which allows these countries to cooperate and track, for instance, movements across the border. Another program that is already operational here is, for instance, tracking financial flows and help the central banks and financial investigation units of the different countries to work together to track down illicit financial flows, also money laundering and all that sort of things.
As you see these days, Kenya is being exposed for several terror attacks. Will it prevent this kind of attacks in the future?
Well, the future is very difficult to predict, so there's no zero-risk scenario for this. This is a very long-term challenge to everybody here. But what the program will hopefully do is to enhance the skills, improve the coordination of the different agencies involved, which is often being seen as gaps, as loopholes that have been used by terrorists in order to escape or in order to organize their attacks.
Uwe Wiesenbach speaking to DW's Shewaye Legacy. Let's now head to the DRC, where authorities have banned chicken imports from Turkey following an alert from the Turkish government that chickens that tested positive for bird flu in a Turkish town have been loaded onto containers and shipped to Kinshasa. The news has created panic among chicken consumers after it spread across the media, urging the population to avoid the chickens. Patrice Chitera has been finding out how residents are coping and filed this report.
I am at Oshwe, an area where people regularly hang out in Kinshasa's district of Matonge. Here people like to have a drink while eating the main dish on the menu, chicken. But for the past few days, many customers have been opting for fish instead. Reports of the dangers of eating Turkish chicken have scared many customers.
We are afraid to eat chicken because while we were told that they are infected with bird flu, which is scaring us. For me to resume eating it again, it is impossible nowadays. I should have a strong assurance that the chickens are not safer before I can resume eating them.
The first assurance the government gave out a few days ago was to ban the import of chickens from Turkey. This came after Turkey's ambassador to the DR Congo warned the government that some of chicken which were supposed to be destroyed in Turkey were already on the way to the DR Congo. The government ban has also affected the consumption of chicken from other countries. But marketing specialist Jonathan Kandolo believes that it won't be long before the people trust the food again.
People are too much panic now, so but I'm sure that it's just for sure for a short time. Nowadays, they don't really have means, you know. They don't really have means, and actually means of eating, to buy food.
The DR Congo and especially the capital Kinshasa import a lot of food supplies, which means that many rely on the import for their daily income. Giselle Ngombo, a chicken vendor, is among the traders hit by the ban. She recently appeared on a TV show which was sensitizing residents about the problem. She told the presenters to be specific about which type of chicken people should avoid.
We can't sell any of our chicken. We have displayed our product since morning, but the clients are staying away. When we try to lure people to buy chicken from us, they say they cannot eat the chicken because it will kill them. So what about us? We have children, we rent houses. We don't know how we will end up with the situation. That's why we call on you to explain to the population that not all chicken are from Turkey and infected with bird flu, so that we can survive.
The DRC's government has launched a vast agriculture program aiming at ending the country's reliance on food import. But no one knows for sure how long it will take to reverse the current trend.
Patrice Chitera reporting from Kinshasa. And now it's time to sit back and listen to Crossroads Generation.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Good day to you and welcome to our radio series Crossroads Generation, about a group of young Africans, the challenges they face in their daily lives and how they deal with them.
We're standing at the crossroads, we're looking for our way. Crossroads Generation, our future stands today.
This is the 11th episode called What More Do You Want? Previously, Mercy and Nikki visited Councillor Margaret to find out whether it was possible for them to have a baby together, even though Nikki is HIV positive.
What if I told you that under certain conditions, it is possible to have a child with an infected person and remain uninfected?
This is good news for Mercy and Nikki. But will they really go for it and try to have a baby? By the way, apart from Councillor Margaret, so far only Mercy and her close friend Tina know that Nikki is HIV positive. It's a well-kept secret because they're worried about all the prejudices against HIV-positive people. In the nearby slum, 12-year-old Sama wanted to introduce her friend Kadu to her sister Noni. But Noni had a seizure and Kadu ran away. It was lucky that Anita was passing by and heard Sama calling for help as she tried to calm her epileptic sister.
Oh, no! Quick! Get that spoon out of her mouth! Did you put it there?
Yes, Dad says it stops her from swelling her tongue.
No, that's not true. Take it out. Pass me that pillow to rest her head on.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. The fit is stopped.
Anita works at Kisimba Special School for students with disabilities, so she knows exactly what to do. After Anita had helped Sama calm Noni, she wanted to talk to the girl's father, Paolo, but they had to wait for him to get back from work. Let's join Anita, Sama, and Noni in the Tandika slum as Paolo returns.
Sama, where are you?
Here, Dad, in Noni's room.
Ah, that's a good girl. You're always taking good care of your... What's going on here? Who is this?
Dad, this is Anita. Noni had another fit. It was very violent this time. Anita here helped me.
Thank you for helping us, Anita. But I'm here now. You can go.
Baba Sama, I work at Kisimba Special School. I think we may be able to help Noni.
You cannot help us, young girl. My daughter has been bewitched. So unless you're a sorcerer and can remove the spell, I suggest you leave me and my family alone.
Sir, we deal with children just like her at our school. I assure you, there are ways of helping her other than by witchcraft. We educate the children, but not only that, our staff is also trained to care for them in the best way possible. And there are therapies that could also improve her health. It wouldn't cost you a thing. It's all paid for by well-wishers.
Young girl, I said leave us. Who do you think you are? An angel of God? Just because you helped Noni does not mean you suddenly get to make decisions in my house.
Dad, please.
Shut up, Sama.
All right. But I'll leave you my number in case you change your mind. Here. Goodbye.
You too, Sama. Get out of here now.
Yes, Dad.
Next time I catch you bringing strangers into this room, you'll wish you had never been born.
I wish we had a car. What with all this rain? I don't know why the buses seem to stop running whenever it rains.
Well, you were too proud to accept your dad's offer to give us a car. Now you have to pay the price.
We're almost there now. Don't worry, my dear Mas. Oh, no, not now. It's my dad. I'll call him later. He's been giving me grief about wanting a grandson. I know that's why he's calling again.
Is that why you've been hassling me about having a baby?
Please, Mercy, don't start on at me again. I've said I'm sorry. It's just that sometimes I don't really feel that I'm loved. And it would be great to have someone...
Nikki, I knew you had HIV when we got married. And I married you anyway. What more can I do to prove that I love you?
I'm sorry.
Hi, Nikki. Hi, Mercy.
Kadu?
Banda.
Banda? What are you doing here, my dear brothers?
Mom said you could visit if you wanted, but only for a few hours.
Your door was locked when you got here, so we decided to wait.
In the rain? Without an umbrella?
Well, we didn't know where else to go.
Come on, boys. Don't just stand there. Come in and get out of those wet clothes.
Hi, Tina. How are you doing?
I wish to do something about these puddles. My shoes are all muddy.
Yeah. Have a nice evening anyway. Bye.
You too. Bye. Damn, what the hell is my key? Here it is. I hate this weather. My clothes are always soaking wet by the time I get home. I guess Dan may be right after all with that climate change thing he keeps going on about. I actually kind of like Dan. He's a simple guy in lots of ways, and in others, he's really deep. I think he quite likes me too. But when I think about how badly he treated Mercy when they were together, well, that was a long time ago. Maybe he's changed. What about Anita, though? I don't trust Anita. The way she looks at him. Maybe I should do something about it before she pounces. In fact, I think I will... who is this? Talk of the devil, Anita. Why would she be calling me? Hi, Anita.
Hey, Tina. Sorry to call so late, but there's something I really need to talk to you about.
Sure, go ahead.
Do you think you could interview me on your radio show?
Interview you on my show? Sorry, I don't understand. You know what my show is about, right?
Sure, I do. It's about women, and I am a woman.
But not just any women. They have to be women who make a difference. Women who really...
Listen, would you just meet me, please, for a few minutes? Sometime this week? Then I can explain to you in person what it's all about.
Okay, say Wednesday at 10 o'clock at the university canteen. You can't miss it. It's the big yellow building.
Thanks a lot, Tina. I'll be there.
I wonder what she wants to talk about.
Thanks for dinner, Mercy.
Yeah, it was really delicious.
You're welcome, my brothers.
You know, I think I'll go to bed if you don't mind. I'm really tired. Sleep well, boys. I'll see you in the morning.
Good night, Nikki.
So, what did Mom say when you told her you wouldn't be coming home tonight?
She thought we were lying when you told her the buses weren't running because it was raining so heavily.
I'm sure she'll punish us when you go back tomorrow.
Don't worry, I'll talk to her. She'll understand. All right. As you can see, the house isn't that big. You boys can sleep on the floor. Just spread out the cushions over there. You can sleep on those. Good night, boys.
Night, Mercy.
Kadu, did you hear what our sister Mercy was saying when she and Nikki got home?
No. What?
Mercy said, I knew you had HIV when we got married.
HIV? Nikki has HIV? Isn't that the bad disease? AIDS?
We have to tell Mom.
Banda.
Yes, Kadu.
Before we came to visit Mercy, I saw something really scary.
What?
Summer's sister, Noni. I think she has the demons that Dad used to talk about.
Why? What was she doing?
She was foaming at the mouth and thrashing about all over the place.
Kadu, what if the demons entered you?
Demons? No. They didn't. I didn't touch her. And they ran away very fast.
And that's the end of Crossroads Generation for today. Will Kadu and Banda really tell their mother that Nikki is HIV positive? Nikki doesn't know yet that Kadu and Banda have discovered his secret, but he has some other concerns he has been confiding to his video blog. To find out what they are, just go to dw.de/LBE. And if you want to know what it is that Anita is so keen to tell Tina, don't forget to tune in again next time. Bye-bye.
And now, a reminder of the stories that we've covered for you in the last 25 minutes. Burundi's Speaker of Parliament, P. Navyohanyuma, has fled the country hours before the parliamentary elections. Authorities in the Democratic Republic of Congo banned chicken imports from Turkey for fear of bird flu. We've also been hearing about the EU's plans to support East Africa in its fight against radicalization and terrorism. For more comments and suggestions on the stories that we've covered, send an email to feedback.africa@dw.com, a letter at africalinkdw53110 Bonn, Germany, or an SMS to country code 491609575910 Bonn, Germany. And I'm Isaac Mugabe in Bonn.